Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 59 on January 28th, 2021. On today's episode, I'm joined by Haley Pop of Hive Bakery to talk about dishing out the sweets during a pandemic, plus our shared fury at continued misogyny and other hateful issues within the sugar arts world and beyond. This is your official warning that we are angry and we use strong language in this episode to express our fury. So whether you're baking up a storm of delicious treats, still on a COVID break from cakes and cookies, or just want to join us in swearing about how angry we are at injustices in the world, let's get this show started to lift us all up together on our sugar arts journey. Joining me now from Flower Mound, Texas, is Haley Pop of Hive Bakery.
What's up, everybody?
What isn't up right now in the world that we live in?
Oh, God, I know. It's a weird time.
We just went back into lockdown like 2 hours ago, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like at 8, it's 10 o'clock here in England now. At 8 o'clock, our annoying Muppet of a Prime Minister didn't close schools.
Can it be any worse than what we've been dealing with, though?
Okay.
I know it's not as bad, but, like, which one is worse?
No, you have it worse. Ours is an annoying, stupid Muppet. Yours is an outright terrorist, abusive dad, creepmonger.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, he's. But our Muppet today, like, we could have closed schools. The schools opened today, but all over the Christmas break, people are like, don't open the schools. So they made them go to school today, but now they're closing them either tomorrow or Wednesday. It's not clear.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's where we are right now. Yeah, because I should say I'm recording this on January 4th because we're going to air this at the end of the month, and who knows what the state of the world will be by that.
For sure.
Yes. But, I mean, you're still selling stuff and, like, massively.
Yeah, so I couldn't in good conscience stay open. So we closed our front end, and we are curbside only. We have been since March. And, you know, like, my community has appreciated it. I very much believe in masks. COVID is real. Going to get that vaccine. So, you know, just to keep everybody in my bakery and everybody who visits our bakery safe, the logical thing for me to do was to just shut down the bakery and operate curbside. It's been hard. It's just been an adjustment, and I'm not making as much money as I could. But ultimately, you know, people are safe. So I feel like it's the right choice. And eventually we'll get back to normal. I don't know when, but eventually we'll get there.
If you're making any money, I think you may be the first person I've interviewed since March, since this whole nonsense started. I think you might be the first person who's making enough money to stay open that I've talked to.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends that own bakeries and they're not doing well. I'm just fortunate. Like, we had a whole fucking following before COVID, and what we do, like, in our area is very, it's not overly saturated here. There's only, like, two or three bakeries. I live in a suburb that's, like, over 75,000 people, and they like the baked goods. So we just got really lucky. Our bakery is very personable also. Like, a lot of our customers have become regulars, have become friends of ours, and so they kind of rally around all small businesses here. I'm very fortunate. I don't know, we're lucky. It was luck, I think, for us. So still operating, still making money. Fuck, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people go down. It's not a good thing to see, especially in food industry. It's been terrible. Absolutely terrible.
So I'm curious, because I saw that you're in your procedure on your website, people have to pay online in advance, so you're not exchanging cash, which obviously makes all the sense in the world. Were you taking online payments before COVID?
So before COVID, all of our custom cakes, I make people pay me 50% up front.
Right.
So yes, but only in that aspect. We were not doing any kind of online sales prior to COVID, and now everything is online. And so the next shift, like when COVID is under control and we open back up, the next fucking thing that I have to worry about is like, how do we get back to normal? Like, what does that look like? Are we still going to have to do online sales because some people don't want to come in the store? I mean, I don't even know yet. It's just like a whole, it's like a whole thing that we're going to have to think about once we start to open up again.
Right. Because one of the things I've noticed, not just Kate, but like everything around me, particularly in the buy local, you know, support your local business initiatives, is okay. Because I lived in Austin and then we moved here, and right. in 2014. And let me tell you, in 2014 in England, the number of people who had any online presence, I'm even talking about like a crappy website, was so low, and almost none of them sold. And so, like, there was a local cake shop here, and the owners were always just kvetching, oh, it's not fair, people go online and they order. And I'm like, yeah, because some of us have small children and no car. And like, right. I was there for, you know, cake group meetings, the British Sugarcraft Guild meetings that they were kind of the hosts of. And I was like, yeah, you're only open from like 10 till 4. And I have a small child who's not in school yet that I'm not taking to a cake shop. And I have no car. So I can't order from you because you have no online presence. And so kind of for the last 6 years, I've been like, hey, British businesses, maybe more of you should have at least some bare bones online ordering. And there's a little bit of me now that I'm noticing that the businesses that are limping along are the ones that had that. And the ones who didn't even have a website or had, like, I don't know, the what's the current equivalent of a GeoCities page? Like, you know, like a crap page where it's like it's a 2-page thing with no valid information other than what you put in a phone book anyway. Right, those businesses, those are the ones that are suffering. And I, of course, I feel sorry for them. But there's a little bit of, well, maybe you could have taken credit cards before. Because they don't take credit cards, some of them here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we live in a day and age where everything is connected to your phone. Everything is app. Everything is, you need to access it fast. So if you're not keeping up with really just like modern tech.
Right.
Especially in any, like in any kind of business. I mean, you're going to get left behind. So I think, you know, a lot of the younger folks opening bakeries, they get it. And a lot of the older crowd is kind of like stuck. They need to push forward and kind of get with it.
Yeah.
2021 is, I mean, Jesus, you know, you can buy shit with your phone.
Like,
you
can, right?
I mean, like, you don't, it's, cash isn't a thing anymore. Checks aren't a fucking thing. So, I mean, yeah, you have to get with it. You have to.
I mean, that's what I said to my husband today, because I had to do my taxes today, so my version of home educating my 7-year-old today was go on Oak Academy. That's the British government's, like, sort of vaguely online platform for remote learning.
Right.
And I said, I don't care, just pick a math or an English. Just pick a math, because she's in year 3, but she's doing year 1 stuff. It's all this. It's really fun educating a learning disabled child by yourself. But so I said, just pick one, because mommy has to do taxes. And she then comes at me and says that she needs coins because she's picked the activity that's learning about British coins. And I'm like, I don't have any coins. Daddy's in a meeting. Okay, daddy's at the meeting. Go ask daddy for coins. Daddy used to go out into the world and use coins. I haven't used coins. I don't even know British coins. They're scary and they'd have no quarter. And I don't understand. It's 20p instead of quarter. But so if, oh, we get her some coins. And I said to my husband, she's 7.5. By the time she's actually allowed to have money, nobody's going to be using money.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, true. It's becoming obsolete for sure.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you might need to make change. I'm like, I never make change.
No, like, yeah. I mean, our whole storefront is online. It's credit card only, and we're doing okay. So, I mean, it's kind of a testament to the fact that, you know, like, we don't have to use cash anymore.
Right. And I get it. I know that we have to be careful because access to credit cards and stuff like that is a privileged class thing, especially here. And so, like, I'm not saying that, like, cash should be obliterated, but there's a little bit, like, just British culture is still really into the cash much more than the plastic. Whereas, I mean, I lived in Ottawa when the world's first testing of debit cards happened. I had one of the world's first debit cards, so I've been using a debit card for more than half my life. And I'm old, so
yeah.
Yeah. But, like, well, I mean, when I first moved here, one of the first things I did was go to a cake show, because, well, of course I did. But, so this was would have been the Cake and Bake Show in the XL Stadium, which is currently a hospital. It's been converted to a hospital. But they don't have the people to man it, so that's a fun PR stunt. Anyway, but it was, I went to this cake show, and I thought, well, I need to figure out what are the British brands of things. And I quickly learned Renshaw is a big British brand of fondant, which, I mean, now people in the US have heard of it, but no one had heard of it in 2014. And so this is one of the biggest brands of fondant, right? And I went up to them and I said, well, I need to buy a bunch. And I pulled out my card and they said, no, we don't take that, cash only.
Oh.
Like a big, what is now one of the major international brands in what would have been October 2014 was not taking plastic at a trade show.
That's crazy.
Right? And yeah. I was like, I mean, like, I, you know, Austin isn't that, I mean, it's a tech hub, but like, come on. I mean, no one in Austin was using cash as it was. And I came here and I had to have cash for everything.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, it has shifted a bit. Like now, if you go to like the Cake International show, I think everyone's taking plastic now because the iPads can take it.
Yeah.
So that, I think, has been the impetus. Like, I volunteered at the Cake Masters booth a couple of years. Oh, God, I think that was three, four years ago now. And that was the first year they could do online thing with plastic because they had iPads. But, yeah, before that, like, you had to buy. In the U.S., they had a thing. I remember for the Austin Cake Show, we had a thing that you could snap on a phone because Irene, the treasurer for Austin, had one. They didn't have that here. If you wanted to take cards, you had to buy one of those big things like that waiters hand you. And I gather those things are, like, really expensive and have to have, like, a special connect. I don't know. But so, yeah, it has improved. But, yeah, I've definitely noticed the cake businesses that are surviving are the ones that were already poised to take some level of online ordering.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have to. We're literally, like, mandated to, you know, like, all restaurants are at 50% capacity. Like, you have to. So...
So, I mean, how many times a day are you running out of the shop and to someone's at the curbside?
So, it's all day long. It's just one girl. It's my cashier. We all kind of stay in here and we send her out like a lamb to the slaughter.
Oh. No,
just kidding. She wears the mask and every time we take out, we switch gloves. So, she'll wear gloves to give to a customer, put them in the dumpster, like, outside. There's a trash can, luckily, like, very close to us. She dumps her gloves, comes in, scrubs her hands, hand sanitizes, and then she's good to go.
Yeah.
But it's a nightmare. Like, it's not fun. Our customers appreciate it. Mostly, they just pop their trunks.
And we
it in the back of the car, and, like, there's really no interaction.
Yeah, okay, that's better, yeah.
Yeah, they appreciate it, and I mean, God, I'm thankful that they're still coming. So it's just how we operate now.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and hopefully most of them are masking up. And
no, they all are. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think we kind of live in a semi-progressive area for Texas. Like we're a suburb of Dallas,
right?
I think is growing more and more progressive as the years pass. So. A lot of people here, you know, they're masking up. They know it's real. So
that's good. Yeah, I saw there was a meme going around about how in Texas it's the grocery store, which you and I know would be HEB, but other people outside of Texas wouldn't know. HEB is the one that's, you know, doing tornado prep and feeding the poor and doing all the stuff while the legislature debates if masks are the tools of the devil. So yeah, that's yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Anyway, well, I'm glad that the business is going well. And I also saw, I don't know how much you're able to or want to talk about, you're doing or have just done some TV stuff, right?
Yeah. So the latest show that we filmed was Cake Alike. It's on Discovery Plus, and I think they're also airing it on Food Network. But it was this crazy show. Who were the judges? Tregay, who's like a chef. She was one of the judges. Natalie Seitzer. And Kalen, the dude from Ellen that talks about like funny food and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool judges. And I took one of my cake artists with me, and we got to compete against two other teams. And we had to make life-size cakes out of celebrities. So my episode is episode 6. And I'll just fucking tell you, because, like, who cares? We had to make Flavor Flav. The show was a trip. And, I mean, I was letting the F-bombs fly. And all of the crew that was there, like, the people behind the scenes were laughing their asses off. And I said, like, we might have to bleep a few of these. but we're going to kind of illustrate the true personality in the show. And so I was thrilled because... typically on these fucking shows, like, you come on and you have to, I would say, like, be a fragment of yourself. Like,
yeah.
You can't just go in and be you because they can't air all the shit that you say.
Yep.
But this show was quite different. And they're like, no, do whatever you want to do, say whatever you want to say, we're good with it. So, I loved it. It was a blast. I can't tell you who won.
No, of course not. Yep.
That's... I can tell you that it was... probably my favorite show that I have filmed so far.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it's got to have at least a certain edge to it to get Natalie on board, right?
Yeah, for sure. The skill of some of the people on this show was, like, incredible, which also why it was one of my favorite shows to film. You know, like, as you film more and more shows, you meet more and more people. I think the talent just gets better every year. Cake now is just, like, it's another art form, you
yep.
know? Like, we've reached, like, this elevated level of just crazy shit these days. There's people out there that can make, like, lifelike, realistic busts of people. Like, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So, you know, the shows have become a little bit different than they used to be. It's just, it's, like, the talent level is so high now.
Yeah. I mean, the way I met Natalie was... however many Austin shows ago, it would have been Sunday morning. So we're exhausted because we've been working. And I think it was back when we even still had a Saturday night dinner. So, like, no one went home till like 1 a.m. and we'd been there
yeah.
since 6 a.m. And just, like, really shattered level exhausted. And I got there Sunday and I was walking through the hall. And, like, you know how you do that thing where you're walking and you got your tunnel vision to where you got to go. But then something in your brain says, no, check your peripheral vision.
Yeah.
And I checked my peripheral vision and I thought, wait, and I took 3 steps back and Willie Nelson was staring at me and it scared the hell out of me. And I had to go over to it. And even I, who had entered, like, I had entered show cakes that year. I mean, like, it's not like I don't know what a cake can look like.
No.
I went up to that thing and I was like, that is not a cake. That can't be. What? Why? This is Willie Nelson's head. And that was Natalie's cake. Of course, that's the one that put her on the map, but...
it's madness.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was good, and then I saw her stuff. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's... I mean, there are people out there with just, like, mind-boggling talent.
Yeah. I mean, it happened again at Cake International a few years. It was... I can't remember if it was the last year I competed or not. I kind of had to put competitions to the side because they were stressing me out and killing me. there was... one of the years I put my stuff on the table and then I came back sort of around later to see what else was further down the table. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
And that Freddie Mercury only got a silver and I'm still angry for the creator.
Wow.
But it looked like Freddie Mercury and it watched you around the room. Like, it had the eyes following thing. And it's like one of my favorite all time cakes. Like, yeah, but these bust cakes, like, I would wish I could do that, but I don't know. My faces don't work like that.
Faces are hard because you
yeah.
have to capture nuances or it just doesn't work. They're hard.
Yeah, they go uncanny really easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I did... it may have been the year that with Willie Nelson, I did Wolverine. And I still have the head of it. And we call it the head of Not Quite Hugh. Because mm-hmm. you can tell that I was going for Hugh Jackman Wolverine. And it looks like a face. Like, it looks like a realistic face.
Yeah.
And it looks like someone dressed as Hugh Jackman. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why it's the head of Not Quite Hugh. Because I took measurements. I mean, I wallpapered my kitchen with Hugh Jackman pictures, which was definitely not out of any kind of obsessive, lusty fandom. It was definitely just for work. Mm-hmm. But like, I had measured his nose. I measured, like, did you know the creases of his forehead make a W? Because I measured everything and then like scaled, right? I put everything into that. And it's good, but it's not Hugh. So these people who can make it, like, that's Willie Nelson. That's Freddie Mercury. I mean, that just blows my mind. I mean, so I guess you can't tell me how your Flava Flav went, but, and I can't see the show because that won't air here, but, hang on. When does it air? Do you know?
It's airing now. My episode, I think, is supposed to air January 28th.
I think that might be when this comes out. Hang on. I'm going to make some clicking noises while I check the calendar because I might get you to send me a picture. Yeah, 28th is when I have this.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so if it has aired, and I will leave this part in so the listeners will know. If it has aired and if you can send a picture that I can stick in the show notes.
Okay, yeah.
That would, because I almost certainly won't be able to see it. I mean, it's very rare that we get to see any US cake shows here. In fact,
that sucks.
I can't think of the last one. Occasionally they're on YouTube. Sorry?
But you get to watch the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah, well, except I don't watch it anymore because I'm not allowed to actually stab Paul Hollywood. So I hate him. I hate him with such a I never liked him. When I first moved here and I started watching it, I was like, okay, all right, whatever. Mary Berry is awesome. You know, the hosts are Mel and Sue. Like, they are super awesome, amazing. And so, like, that was okay. But then when it switched to the other network and Mary Berry was gone, and now it's just Paul Hollywood being the mahoosive dick that he is. I also went back when they showed up on Netflix and I watched the old ones. And watching season one where Paul Hollywood mansplains baking to Mary Berry and she keeps taking it. I mean, after that season, she doesn't take it anymore, but she just keeps sort of, she does that thing that, like, well, we've been encultured to do, particularly in the older generations, of just smiling and nodding at the mansplaining. And it made me want to commit acts that would land me in jail. And worse, he's wrong. He's wrong so much of the time. And he thinks he's right, which is just, he doesn't know the difference between a macaron and a macaroon. And I'm like, one's made with nuts and could poison people who have an allergy. You can't confuse those two, jerkbag.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It was cringy. It got cringier and cringier. And I just thought, I don't want to do so. I haven't watched the last couple seasons because, and again, murder's not legal, so I can't take it.
Yeah, so stay away. Don't watch it.
No, I've got, you know what? I will rewatch all the Trek episodes in the world before I'd watch. Well, no, not Kirk, but all the TNG episodes. I would rewatch as much Picard as I can to cleanse the soul. I can play my Picard noise at any time. Where is it?
Damage report.
It's like that.
My other cake designer here, Kat, is obsessed. She's a Trekkie.
So, I think I just friended her.
Oh, yeah?
Because, again, I was going through your... Because I see your personal posts all the time, but I was going through your... The actual bakery posts. You know how it is. We all like each other's pages, but nobody sees anyone's professional posts.
Yeah.
Except for Jackie Kelly's. I never see Jackie's personal posts. I always see her Totally Sugar posts. It's so weird.
Same.
Yeah.
No, I have, like, totally separate accounts. Like, personal account is very personal, and business is... I don't know. Business is kind of personal. Like, I let it all out there. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, well, no, but part of why I asked you to do this was because I have seen in your personal posts you ranting about the same misogynistic crap that we put up with. And I've mentioned that it's come up so many times on the podcast over the however many bazillions of years now. I think 4 years. I mean, it was 4 years, three, four, I don't even know. Can't count. It's too late at night to count. it's that Malibu Stacy thing. Math is hard. Let's make cookies for the boys. but, like... One of the common rants that I have on here is how I think I've noticed in the sugar arts, more than any other art thing I'm in, is there's that thing where women are encultured to, we should not brag. It's even worse here in England. Nobody should brag in England, but particularly women should not toot their own horns. And I see it over and over and over again in the cake world where people will tell each other how amazing they are, but no one's allowed to say I'm amazing.
Yeah.
And if they do, there's almost like a, how dare they? But it, particularly it's when women do it, because I've been to like the Cake Masters Awards and stuff like, or, you know, the Austin Awards and stuff. And there, I've noticed a general trend, not, obviously not always, but you know, a general trend. Men who win, they pump their fists in the air and everyone's like, yeah. There are men here who cry and then they get crapped on for crying, which I have a, that's super toxic. That's not okay. But most of the men, they're like, yeah, cause I'm awesome. And everyone's like, yeah, you're awesome. Cause they are awesome.
Yeah.
But the women almost invariably almost have to go, I can't believe I won. Oh my goodness. It's the Sally Field. You like me. You really like me.
Yeah. And, that has always kind of struck a chord with me, because I definitely feel like we are our own best advocates. So, I mean, you have to believe in what you do in yourself. And I mean, that's how in your business, in personal life, you have to really believe in yourself. And, you know, when you look back at what you've accomplished, like, ultimately, you've got yourself there. Why can't you be proud of yourself and fucking share it with people?
Right? So,
I mean, this whole year for me was like a rebirth. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do all the shit that I've ever wanted to do. I am a mom. I have 3 kids. They're older now. Praise Jesus. They're older. But, you know, for probably a decade, maybe even more, the better part of my adult life, I was always like fucking low end of the totem pole. I was taking care of everyone and everything in my family and in my life, except for myself.
Mm-hmm. And
like, you know what? Fuck all that noise. It's about me this year. And so I just started doing everything that I've ever wanted to do. Opening the bakery was one of those things. And I mean, it's taken me to places I never thought that I would be. I mean, shit, I've been on TV and traveled to different countries, traveled to, you know, different states, like all because of Hive Bakery, because I opened this bakery. So, I mean, absolutely toot your own fucking horn. Like, I think I'm pretty kick-ass, and I don't mind saying it. And I think that more women should be that way. It's empowering,
mm-hmm.
and it should be for women, you know, you can do this shit, and you can be proud of it.
Yep. Yeah. And yes, you do kick ass. Your cakes are awesome. But you shouldn't need me to validate that. But you know, it is a million times easier for me to say that, because to me, that's an obvious fact, than to even say it about myself, even though in my own head, I actually know that I kick ass. Do you know what I mean? I'm getting better at being able to say it, but I really do feel that internalized misogyny thing still in my head. Of that it feels wrong to say, hey, I'm really good at this. And,
right.
you know, I mean, like, we just had a thing with, I have some fiction books, and every year it coincides with U.S. Thanksgiving because of my birthday. I always put out this mega coupon. And this year I just said, hey, you know what? This book is actually awesome, and it's 99 cents right now. So yeah. Get it. Because it's only 99 cents once a year. And frankly, for the last 2 years, none of y'all bought it when I put the coupon out. So if nobody buys it this year, I'm not doing a coupon next year. And then like a couple people bought it. But so it worked a little bit. It worked better than being quiet. But like there was still that sort of, you could still feel the gasp in the background. Like, well, you're just saying that because it's your, like, well, no, I'm not saying it because it's mine. I'm saying it because it's actually a really good book. Thanks. I mean, it may not be everyone's cup book because not everyone enjoys the same genres and whatever.
Right.
But it's what I would like to read. So, yeah. Like, but it's really hard. Like, I still feel the guilt. Like, oh, I shouldn't push for money. I still have that guilt, which sucks. That's Canadian. Like, I shouldn't ask for money, and I shouldn't ask people to buy my stuff, and I shouldn't toot my own horn. And so I, like, for years and years, I tried, I would make a habit of, if I read someone else's book, like, who I knew, where they were a small author, I mean, because the big, well, big authors, it's still nice to praise them, but, you know, they got PR teams for that. I would, like, local. So, okay, in Texas, there's a, well, there used to be a kids group called the Biscuit Brothers. I don't know if you've seen their show on PBS, but I was volunteering for them, and because PBS show makes exactly as much money as you think it does. You know, like I would toot their horn and I would give review, make sure every album I bought, I would review them and I would try to get other people to give reviews because reviews are such a big deal in online sales. And then, you know, if I bought some other indie artist's album, I would give it a review, and I would always constantly make a thing, give reviews, get, hey, everybody, if you've bought from a small store, if you've done this, make sure you do a Google review, make sure you do reviews. It's a really big deal. And I always did them. And then, like, you know, a handful of friends did reviews for me, and then that's it. And it's like, well,
right.
And some of all y'all out there who are benefiting from the reviews need to go review other people's. You got to pay it forward.
Yeah. I've found that for whatever reason, my whole life, I've just never given a shit. Like, I don't care what people think of me. It's never been part of my psyche. I don't give a fuck. So I just am doing me. And so when I opened this bakery, you know, you can't help but be part of the business. Like, it is literally a fucking part of me. So anytime I post on social media about, you know, real issues, using my Hive accounts, I have noticed that a lot of people respond to that. Transparency has been one of my best friends. And, you know, my parents, a lot of my friends, people will keep telling me, like, you can't do that shit. You're going to fucking go under. People don't want to read real stuff. I just don't give a fuck. Like, I have something to say, and I have a little platform, so I may as well use it. And I have found that, you know, the more you talk about things, the more relatable you are, because we all go through shit. Anybody in the cake industry, anybody who owns a bakery, like, we all kind of go through the same shit. I just am not afraid to fucking put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely lost some followers here and there, but honestly, like, if you aren't the person, you know, that I kind of want hanging around me, then, like, good riddance.
Yep.
It's imperative to kind of just, like, it doesn't fucking matter what everybody else thinks. You just have to put yourself out there, and being confident in what you do is by no means braggadocious. It's just confidence.
Right. Yeah. Are you in the middle of a big project right now? Are you at that dreaded point halfway along where everything looks all weird and the faces aren't quite human and the animals look like the wrong species? Or you haven't covered up the seams, or there's some other part that, because it's not done yet, just looks wrong? Are you exhausted and asking yourself why? Why are you even engaged in this art form? Because you just want to go do something else, but this project is making you hate sugar? Well, remember, we've all been there. Everyone in this industry has been where you are right now, and we will all be there again. The midpoint of any project stinks. You've put in so much time and so much work, but still have so far to go. And there are a dozen other things you'd rather do right now. We all understand. But come on now. We also know how awesome you're going to feel at the end of this thing. Whatever you're making is going to be amazing. You are going to put that last piece on and stand back and be so happy with what you've accomplished. Because yeah, it's hard, but that's what makes it worthwhile in the end. So take a break if you need to, but keep on going because you rock. You are awesome. You are an artist, and this is your latest masterpiece. Woohoo! You go! You do it! You keep slogging through it, and we are all cheering you on. Yeah! It's not a political podcast. We don't go on and on about politics, but sometimes I leave the politics in where it's relevant. Like when Brexit was looming the last time, right before Cake International, people didn't know if they could come to Cake International, and then it fell through. And now we have Brexit, And, like, that's why today I had to pay an extra fee to order some DMC floss for a cross-stitch thing I want to do, because it's coming from France, and I didn't plan for that. Like, so these things do affect us, and I keep saying, look, I'm clearly anti-Trump. I'm clearly anti-children in concentration camps, because that shouldn't be an issue. Like, right. and when people say, oh, Kim, you're going to lose listeners, I'm like, okay, first of all, I pay to put the podcast out. Whatever, okay? If you're not going to listen, that's all right. But I would rather have, I have about 300-ish listeners, depending on who it is and whether they help promote it or whatever, right? And each episode gets about 300 to 500. I'd rather have that 300 to 500 loyal listeners who are on the same page that children should not be in concentration camps than have 1,000 listeners, 600 of which believe that children should be in concentration camps. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've always said there is a right and a wrong side of history.
Yeah.
There really, it's very clear. So, I mean, to not talk about these things, to be complacent, I mean, you can't turn a blind eye to this shit. Like, the world is in pure fucking chaos right now. So, like, you have to take a side. Like, yeah. You have to.
Yes. And I mean, if someone voted for Brexit and now they're sad that it's going to cost 10 times as much to buy their ingredients, haha, too bad. I mean, it's too bad for the rest of us who voted against it. But like, the politics do matter. And I mean, the number of people the last week who've been like, wait a minute, I can't just travel to Europe when I want to now. It's like, yeah, that's what you voted for.
Right.
Yeah, like, yeah. And now if I want to say, I was planning to maybe go to Cake and Bake Germany this past May, because that worked out really well for me. And Germany and the rest of the world and the thousands of people who are dead. But aside from COVID, it then makes going to Cake and Bake Germany more expensive and more dangerous to someone like me with health conditions. So, cause we're now, there was like a group health thing that you would get treated wherever you were. And now, I mean, like you'll get treated, but, past a certain point, you have to pay for it or pay for insurance. Like, it's like having to buy the health insurance I had to buy to go back to the States.
Right.
So like it matters now. It's going to be more expensive and more arduous and more dangerous. I mean, again, independent of COVID. So that's going to hurt that industry, and that hurts me.
Yeah, for sure.
So you can't, people who do these, you know, who vote in certain ways and then cry because it hurts their business. Like, well, you voted for the thing that likes to, you voted for the authoritarian that's going to crack down.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know. It's just been a weird year. People that I never would have thought in a million years would vote for Trump, voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And it's like, there are no words for it. You know, it's like the one issue, you know, like, oh, well, I don't believe in abortion, so I'm going to vote for Trump. Like, well, fuck, dude. What about all the other shit going on in the world? So, I don't know. It's just a weird year. It's been a weird...
These things aren't in a vacuum, and we can't pretend that the politics doesn't affect our lives all the time. Because, well, I mean, it comes down to it that if we're on an island, if we'd locked COVID down as well as New Zealand, we could be COVID-free right now.
Yeah.
And everyone could have their businesses back.
It's very true.
Yeah. So it's people who say, well, I don't care about politics. My answer is, well, politics cares about you.
Yeah. You can't avoid it.
No. And yeah, like, I mean, well, some of the things that you've been posting about, you know, in terms of the misogyny thing back on that, you know, because I see your posts about, you know, supporting women-owned businesses and,
yeah,
I mean, especially in this time, because, well, who's most likely to have to be home with the kids during COVID for homeschooling, right?
For sure. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, I believe in wholeheartedly. We purchase lunch from a woman-owned business at least twice a week. We recommend and buy products from as many locally women-owned businesses, Black-owned businesses. Like, I believe in that shit. I don't just talk about it. Like, we really fucking do it.
Yep.
Women have to stick together. Like, men don't fucking care about us.
Mm-hmm.
Old white men, they don't give a shit.
Nope.
So, you know, you gotta look out for each other. And the woman-on-woman hate is also very real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thing that you know, it's been going on since the beginning of time, but like, goddamn, ladies, like, we are fighting for the same shit. Like, get on board. I have never understood woman-on-woman hate. I don't get it.
No, well, I just saw some, I'm not going to name names, but there was a thing going around, a particular woman in the cake area had posted something about a weird dream she had, and another cake woman had to come and first armchair diagnose her, which everyone loves. I mean, if you've looked at my page for 5 minutes, you know how fast you get booted if you start giving me unsolicited medical advice. Yeah. But so she, the woman two did this, and woman one was like, basically had a mildly snarky could you not type response, and then woman two launched into the full fat phobia. And like, you wouldn't have this if you lost weight. And
oh my God.
Right. And then what's worse is how I found out about this was other people talking about this and snarking on them both as if both were guilty. And what I've been saying is, okay, first of all, the white woman doesn't get to tell how the black woman how to live, because you know that's how that panned out. If you hadn't guessed already, the terrible person who was being all fat phobic is a white woman, and the OP was a black woman. And so this white woman came in, medically diagnosed someone she had no business doing, and then went full fat phobia on her when she didn't like her comment being rejected. And watching other people describe them both as nuts, crazy, you know, all the ableist language, that's always fun. And then I'm going to defriend them both, or what, like, I didn't have the white woman in my friends. I had the black woman in my friends, but she's not someone I know. It's just like, you know how cake friends are on Facebook. You have like 753 of them because someone friends you and you see you have 752 friends in common. So you're like, well, now I have 753.
I do too. Let's do that shit.
Yeah. But yeah, like I learned about this first because people were talking about it in really inappropriate ways and saying, oh, she shouldn't have said that. I'm like, no, actually, she gets to defend her reasonable boundary.
Yeah.
And it was but watching other women take down the woman who was basically the victim of trolling.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no. And it's been funny as I've been calling it out. I've had my comments dirty deleted. I've had people LOL brush off. Yeah, it's been really telling and creepy, and we need to stop that crap.
Yeah, it's, you know, for us to succeed, like, we have to stop this shit.
Yep.
I mean, to have each other's backs.
Yeah.
If somebody puts their shit out there and they're being transparent, like, just be a human being. Don't be a fucking asshole. Like, it's not that hard.
You know, I say that. That's a phrase I say all the time. It's really not that hard. It really, because the easiest way to not be a jerk is to just say nothing and walk away. And I'm mouthy.
Yeah.
I am a loudmouth feminist on the internet and have been since the early 90s. I know I'm bad at shutting up, but you know, it's the people who start the phrases with, "Well, I'm not racist, but."
Yeah. Those are my
favorite. Don't mean to be that creeper guy, but boy, she's hot. Like,
right. Oh, that's the worst. Oh my God. When dudes just get on fucking Facebook or Instagram and on profile pictures or whatever.
Oh,
hot,
yeah.
Flame, 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 hot. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Does that work for you? God. To stick together, because that's what we're up against.
And again, if it's your business page, women are in this position of, guy says something that's a comment on her looks instead of the cake she's holding. Right. And that thing of, okay, one, do I have the spoons to fight this today? And two, if I do, is it going to cost me business?
Yeah.
I mean, I know, I'll make it nameless, but anyone in Britain knows who I mean. There's a friend of mine who's on TV a lot here, and she's very pretty and has a very voluptuous figure, and she's very well known, and she's sweet as anything. She's just like one of the nicest people, and the creepy misogyny that follows her is depressing. I mean, she has posted the stalking she gets, and you know, police take about as seriously as that. I mean, she's sort of semi-celebrity, so they take it a little more seriously, which is sick in and of itself. But like, just like, you see her post one of her public posts about, like, you know, her cake tools or the cake business or some of these things. And guys are just, like, thirsty at her all the time. And
that's so sad.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's, we should be able to live in a world where pretty things are pretty and that's nice without having to be sexualized every 5 seconds. Well,
and that kind of brings home, like, when you want to put it all out there that, like, you know, you want to brag on yourself. Anytime you do that, it can be turned around on you by a comment like, oh, look at the jugs on her. Like, anytime you post fucking anything, there's going to be a dude out there that's just disgusting.
Yeah.
That is just our fucking world. It's absolutely repulsive.
Right. So, like, she has, I think, a partnership with some, like, apron company or something, and she models these aprons, and she's cute. Like, she is actually objectively a pleasant person to look at. But for her to be able, and you know, okay, sure, if you're modeling because you're an attractive person in pictures, great. That's, she should be able to milk that for all it's worth without having to, we all know, simultaneously sexualize it. And it's just, it's exhausting. And then on the flip side, like, you know, are the guys who you're not the right perfect body for, and so they think that it's okay to
degrade you
or even the backhanded thing. Oh, there's, because this whole thing, you know, the Star Trek thing, there's this whole thing with Mary Wiseman, who plays Tilly on Discovery. She is plus sized, fat. She's not fat in the world of what sizes are, but for Hollywood, she is. And I'm on a mission that fat is not a dirty word. It is a descriptor, and it's only dirty if you make it mean and blah, blah, blah. But she gets hammered on Twitter with fat phobia. And one of the big, I can't remember, one of the magazines did a whole piece on her, basically talking about how dealing with all this crap. And then the backhandedness you see in the groups that are supposed to be positive, they turn around and say, but she's not fat, she's beautiful. And now you're having to explain to people that those words are not opposites.
Right.
And then people who think that they're doing, mostly guys, think that they're doing it right, are now all defensive, hey, I'm one of the good ones. And you're like, again, the stabbing isn't legal. I have to walk away or just block people.
We deal with that out there. It's just unreal.
Yeah. And we shouldn't have to, it shouldn't be, like, if for something like the Cake Masters Awards, where it's, you know, formal, and so everyone's gonna get dolled up and pretty, it should be about the fun of that expression. And I know Rosie Mazumdar and I have talked about this, how much we love seeing people putting creative costumes, it's not costumes, because it's a formal black tie event, but, like, I mean, there've been people who've come in with tuxes made out of mirrors, and, you know, like, it's just like, or like, oh, some of my friends and I, we kept saying, we're going to make ourselves the weirdest butterfly ball gown, glitzy. With boots. Cause I always wear hiking boots. There's that loving aesthetic of the beauty, and I want that everywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Cause no one's getting creepy about it. Like, no, but okay, I might be in my own little bubble, but honestly, if anyone's gone to the Cake Masters Awards to get lucky, I think you're going to get lucky if you get some cake. Like, it's because it doesn't have that vibe. It successfully has that professional party thing.
Yeah.
Where I think probably because a lot of the women in the room are not going to take that crap. And a lot of the men are gay. So, like, or married. So, like, I think it's kind of trans. It doesn't have that. You can dance and get drunk, and I've never felt, I mean, I don't drink, but I've never felt unsafe in the room of dudes dancing there the way I would totally feel unsafe going to, like, a club.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah. So we need more of that. We need Cake Masters Awards vibe throughout the world, and so that everyone can be as pretty as they want to be or not. And it's just nice. Can we just have nice?
We just need men to understand that feminism is not a dirty word, and that you, in fact, can be a feminist, even if you are a male. Like, it's okay.
Yes. Well, one of my favorite, the, again, because obviously kind of a Patrick Stewart fan. But it was when he put on that t-shirt, oh God, it must have been over a decade ago now, that said, this is what a feminist looks like.
Yeah.
And the group that was signing, which I think was like a domestic abuse charity or something, like they sold out of their shirts because Patrick Stewart, which again, it shouldn't be the white man wears it and now legitimizes it, but he did it and he's awesome. So yeah, that's one of my favorite nerdy memes I made myself is that I keep trying to spread and no one ever gets it but me, but I made a took the picture of him from Dune and said, this is what a Fremenist looks like, but which is... That is really multi-level nerdy. Like, two people in the audience laughed, and everyone's like, what? But I'll stick it in the show notes. But we shouldn't need men to legitimize feminism, but we do, because, again, here we are in a woman-dominated field, and who are the top-paid people?
Yeah.
I mean, and those top-paid people, the ones that are coming to my head, are all actual nice guys, not, you know... nice TM guys, not the creepy nice guys, but they're actually nice guys. I probably, if asked, I would assume would describe themselves as feminists, but they still are getting paid more.
Of course.
And that's like, I don't know how to, that's even harder to fix in our industry because people will pay more for that celebrity panache. And for some reason, the male celebrities get lofted higher.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know how to fix... I mean, you can fix the general pay issue simply by making a law that says you can't pay someone discrimination, you know, wages. I don't want to name names because they're nice people, and but we can think of... We can all in our heads think of some of the top celebrities in this space. Many of them are like the classically trained pastry chefs or whatever, but things like with the what's that collar that they get in France if you're big enough pastry person. I think most people who have that are men, are they not?
I believe so.
I think so. Wasn't there a big deal recently? Like someone, like, and by recently I do mean within the last decade, because I'm tired and old, but I'm pretty sure I recall... may have been like on one of those Food Network type shows where there was like a team competing and that they were mentioning that so-and-so was like the first woman to get like, cause whatever the top honor was amongst the French patisserie people, she was like one of the first to get it. And it's like, we're still, it was like 2000 something. And we're still talking about the first woman to get something.
I don't know.
Well, it's cause I'm not into the pastry as much. Cause, I like to decorate things, not bake things.
It's time for another episode of Kim Googles Things so you don't have to. Given how tired I was while doing this interview, I figured I should look up if my fuzzy memory was correct about this, and it was! In 2007, André Rosier was the first woman to earn a Meilleure Ouvrière de France, or MOF, since the title's beginnings in 1924. In 2015, the second woman to ever earn the title was Virginie Bassolot. That's right, folks. Despite women churning out food for their families for centuries and running many celebrated food establishments, it was only 13 years ago that France finally recognized a woman for culinary arts along with a bunch of men. And it's not exactly like the floodgates opened from there. Because as far as I can tell, as of 2018 at least, no other women have been added in the food categories, although Miriam Boubram won in 2020 in the welding category. But let's be bluntly clear about this. We had smartphones before we had a woman with a culinary MOF. This is why it's continually important for women in our industry to support other women and not cut each other down, especially in patriarchal ways. So let's all do a better job of lifting each other up and fighting those who would stand in our way. This has been another episode of Kim Googles Things so you don't have to.
Yeah, I keep thinking, well, like last year we made cakes for the neighbors, and they usually bring us stuff. But no one's, like, all the responsible people aren't leaving their houses.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So I was like, well, could I bake cookies for the NHS? Well, but I can't leave my house to get them to anybody.
Right. Oh, God.
I can't, if someone comes over to take them, I can't even hand them. Like, I don't open the door when the groceries, my husband masks up and he gets the groceries in the door.
So
how do I bake for other people when I can't see other people?
That's terrible. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could just put it outside.
Yeah. But there are feral dogs here. So, right. Like, cause one of my WI, so we have this thing called the WI, the Women's Institute. Which, frankly, is a good way. Like, anytime I need, like, well, we don't hire plumbers and electricians because we rent. But, like, if I need someone to do something like that, I go on our local WI page. I'm like, right, where's the woman-owned business for the thing that I need? Yeah. And sadly, half the time you can't find one. But so, like, there were WI people who were still going out and about and willing to take stuff. And I was like, right, but how do I coordinate with you that you will get it before the feral dogs come and get it from the shelf? And also, I can't be social with you, my friend, who I haven't seen in, like, a year.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, like, normally, at this time of year, just before Christmas, what I would have been doing would have been, I would have normally made some kind of Christmas-themed desserty thing that and I would have blogged. Because the kids would have been out of the house, and I wouldn't have been having to do the teaching, and I would have made the thing, and then I would have given the extras to either teachers. Although I've stopped doing Christmas cookies because they always get so many, and I'm always so busy. I usually give like February cookies now because then they're like, oh, cookies. We haven't seen cookies in months. I can't give anybody anything. The kids are here all the time, so. We haven't even made our Christmas cookies yet. My 7-year-old, who we never told her about Santa, but she's managed to believe in Santa and that we have to put cookies out and carrots for the reindeer. Like, she got that from school. Whatever. Okay, so we had to, like, open a pack of store-bought cookies that were around to put out for Santa because we forgot to make cookies.
That's funny.
Yeah. But anyway, back to the actual stuff at hand. So I wanted to go back with the TV thing, because I don't see the American shows. What other shows have you been on?
I was on Halloween Wars.
Okay.
And we filmed in Canada it was called The Big Bake, but it airs on Food Network. So those two, and then Take a Like, so the shows that I've done.
Okay. Because I know people who are on, which Halloween Wars were you on? Because I know Mark and Jesse were on one of those, right?
I think I was on season 9.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Honestly, I've lost track of which of my friends were on which shows, especially because I can't watch them out here.
No, it's like everybody in Cake World has been on something at some point. Nobody knows who or when, but
yeah.
Yeah. We had to sign our lives away for Halloween Wars, and the stories I have from that show are, I could literally write a book. People would be, no one would ever want to go on that show again if they read what I had to fucking say.
Well, that in and of itself makes me not want to go on that. You know what? The thing is, I don't want to do, some of the shows look abusive and I'm not into it. I don't really like watching the abusive ones. I find it upsetting to watch my friends be tortured. I don't know. That's a weird thing about me.
Yeah, same. I mean, that's why I don't think I will ever do Halloween Wars again. The Big Bake and the one that we just did, Cake-A-Likes, were awesome. Like, awesome crew, awesome behind the scenes. Everybody was totally friendly. They wanted to see you succeed. Different story for Halloween Wars, I'll just tell you that.
Okay. I want to watch, I keep saying this, and it's never going to happen, because Kylie and I have pitched it, and no one will do it. I want to watch The Cake Show, where a talented cake artist goes on and makes a cool thing and talks about, like, kind of like now how people actually just do with Facebook Lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I want to see that. I want to see, I'm not ever going to buy flower making stuff, but if I'm on Facebook and I see Nick Lodge is demonstrating the latest Katie Sue flower thing, I'm going to watch it if I have time. If I see Dawn Butler on there making, I've already bought her purse kits. I don't need to watch the ad for more purse cakes, but I'll sit and watch Dawn Butler make another purse cake.
Yeah.
So it's nice to hear that there are still some of these shows that it's about the cake.
Yeah. They want you to succeed.
Yeah. I don't watch Nailed It. I know people who are on Nailed It and run Nailed It, and they're very nice people, but I don't want to watch Failure.
Yeah.
It makes me sad, and I don't watch TV to be sad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm lying because I watch Star Trek, so and the people die in Star Trek, and I'm sad. but I don't. That's not what I'm there for. I'm there for the fully automated gay luxury space communism. So,
yeah.
I'm not there for the sad. But yeah. But anyway, I'm yeah. That's good. That I'm really glad that you had the positive experiences, and then that helps other people then know too that there is that positive experience to be had. And
yeah, for sure.
If that studio comes a calling, because it probably that studio will be the same for anything they create, not just that show.
Yeah, for sure. It's all about production. And there is definitely a production company that I will never work for again. The Big Bake and then Cake of Lights, whoever made those fucking shows, they were great.
Yeah.
The crew was stellar. I had an amazing time. Everybody did. Winners, losers, everybody. Like, we all enjoyed our time there. I think I can say that for everyone. So, I mean, that's a testament to how great the crew was.
That is amazing. That is successful arting.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Because then it makes people feel creative and happy. And
well, it's a safe place, you know? Nobody wants to go on fucking TV and eat shit in front of national television, you know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to fucking be a loser.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Especially when they pump up the negative.
Yeah. They make you look like a fucking asshole. They paint whatever narrative they want to sometimes instead of, you know, the reality of it.
Yeah.
Which, the irony that it's reality TV, you know, but yeah, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I've heard many horror stories from various shows of being mic'd even when you're in the bathroom. So if you say something about the other team, they're going to use it.
That is absolutely true. And they absolutely do.
Yeah. And it again, our industry does not need more rifts of what was recorded because someone was tired.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yes. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I'll say a lot meaner things when I'm tired and bitter and sore and
hungry.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, well, I mean, like, that's natural. That's humans. Our brains do that. You know, this civilization layer we have goes away and we become jerks because, I mean, this is an ongoing joke with the Austin show that if Kyla starts getting real snippy, someone bring her a Snickers. Because we get low blood sugar, we're hangry and we're pissed off and our feet are going to explode because we've been standing for 8 hours for 3 days straight. And now we're like, that's only the first day of the show because we've all been setting it up. And, you know, some of us have flown in from a different time zone and like, bleh. And then like, so it makes, you know, all the stuff that you would normally go, whatever, makes you go, bah.
Right.
And so the live miking on some of these shows, it's, again, you're torturing people and you're looking for meanness and I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I want to watch the people I love make pretty things. And if something bad happens, I mean, there is drama and bad things happening. I've had a cake fall over. I want to see, like Bake Off at its peak, when something went wrong, all the contestants would come. It's okay. It's okay. All right. No, we're going to put it together. Hang on. I will get this out of the oven for you. Here, use some of mine.
Right.
That cleansed me when I came to the UK and I'd been really burned out on the increasing meanness of the US shows and I didn't even want to watch Bake Off. People are like, no, it's nice. That's why I like The Masked Singer. Oh my God, my kids and I watching The Masked Singer, it's nice. Someone can be a terrible singer and they're like, you tried really hard and it's clear that you're not a professional singer, but your performance was engaging and you made this audience get on its feet and you're like, oh.
Yeah, that's nice.
Also, you're dressed as a giant duck, and that's amazing. so that's all I want now from any kind of... I won't watch competition shows generally. And well, I mean, if I could watch ones that you're talking about being nice, I would. But I want to watch things like The Masked Singer and stuff where everyone's just nice. And yeah, people lose, but like when they lose, they still got a smile on their face because they had the best time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, but I realize we've been going for nearly an hour and a half, so I should check... have we missed anything? Anything else you want to rant about or anything else you've done you want to talk about?
I mean, I rant every day of my life.
I know. I feel that.
I can get No, I mean, I just appreciate you having me on, and we hit on some things that I think are, you know, that all of us go through in cake world as women, as cake artists. I mean, we're all kind of in the same boat out there, so hopefully less cattiness going into 2021.
Yeah, and I do think in general the cake world has gotten better, because there have been some shameful episodes where people were piling on a thing and then it came to light that the thing was really not okay to pile on. And I think a lot of people have learned some lessons to not snark on the newbies. Yeah. I think it's gotten, maybe I've just blocked all the jerks. I don't know, that is possible. But my cake sphere, at least, I don't want to say more positive, because toxic positivity drives me crazy. But I'd say, generally speaking, I think people have been more lifting each other's boats.
Yeah.
And that's nice. And I'd like to see more of that. And even if it's, you see someone's cake and it's not your favorite design, you can still give it a like. You don't have to lie. You don't have to go, oh my God, that's the best cake I've ever seen, when the stripes aren't even. Like, you don't have to say that. You don't have to lie. But you could be like the Masked Singer judge and go, wow, you know, that is a really, you know, dramatic color choice. You can find something nice to say.
Yeah, for sure.
And review your local businesses.
Yeah, please review us all.
Yeah. Because like you were saying, it's not that you personally need the glorification of the review. It's that it elevates you in the search rankings.
Yeah, absolutely. Social media is like everything for a business.
Yeah. If someone you know has done a cake book, go on to Amazon and give it a good review, because it comes up in searches more. If you know a friend that's got a PDF of a pattern or whatever, share it. Yeah. I'm constantly sharing other people's classes.
You're only hurting yourself if you're a fucking asshole out there, because the reality is, like, we need Cake World to stay relevant.
That's right.
We need to not go away. So, I mean, the more you can build people up, the better off we all are.
Right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, sometimes, like, we see these issues where, and we know it's a problem that people steal each other's photos, and, you know, crappy people steal people's photos and then put it up like they made that cake, and that's a real problem. But part of the way you can combat that is not only, you can go on Facebook and say, or whatever, and say, these are stolen photos, my friend, you know, I know that these are my friend's cakes, and they've got the watermark on them sometimes. But then what you can also do, the positive side of that, is then to post your friend's cakes. Post their business and say, you may have seen this, you know, cake that looks like this going around. Well, that's because that's actually my friend's cake and she isn't getting credit. Here's the credit for her.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I make a point of, because, you know, like the cake muggles, as I call them, the non-cake people. I can't use muggles anymore because, damn it, I can't use Harry Potter terms because she's a TERF.
God damn it.
Oh, God. TERF's taking away all of our nice thing. And by the way, if you're TERF in the audience, you can, yeah, you can just go.
Everything.
Oh, God, it's real bad in England, but we're not getting even going down that path. But yeah, TERFs be gone. I have to find a new term for the non-cake people. Damn it. Damn it. But anyway, until I have a better term, the cake muggles, because they particularly, this is the thing last summer, oh my God, these can cakes or whatever. I make a habit of, whenever I see anyone sharing the cakes, because they often ping me, have you seen this? And the answer is yes, 40 times. Thank you. But I often know whose cake it is. Debbie Gord. But like, it's about a third chance that it's Debbie Gord. Just stick on there, on your friend post, the cake muggles post, say, oh yeah, that's really good, because I know who the person made that. And honestly, if you do a Google image search, half the time you'll find who made it, if you're...
Yeah.
It gets hard if they're Russian, because then you're not searching in the right character set, and so all you find are all the other repeats. But take 5 seconds, see if you can find who made the cake, put that, and then when you reshare it, stick that on, stick the business page on the top.
Yeah.
That's how we fix that. That's, again, just take the 5 seconds and do that.
Yep. You just gotta help each other. Stick together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that's the only way we're getting through this nonsense. And by stick together, we mean in your own homes apart, people.
Yes.
With some delicious treats from Hive Bakery.
Oh, yeah.
All right, actually, okay, before we go, list your top sellers or your favorite sellers, or what should people come buy from you if they're in the general Dallas-y area?
Let's see. We're known for our cinnamon rolls. They weigh 1 pound.
Oh, God, I want one.
We have, like, 12 different flavors of cupcakes every day. Some of them are vegan and gluten-free, but even our regular customers buy them. We are magic here at this bakery, so you can't even tell that they're vegan or gluten-free. I'm not giving away my secrets. What else? We have brownies, cookies, cheesecakes, pies. Like, we basically make anything that you can bake. Our claim to fame is, you know, our custom cakes. We make tons of those. So, I mean, really, if you just like to eat sweets, holla.
And if you need to know how to cut a cake and look at a pole dancer at the same time.
Yeah.
Now I have to link to that post. That was very funny. Especially how you were so careful to constantly say that all this negative misogynistic stereotypes that were on there, you're like, we didn't design this.
I didn't. Okay.
We respect, you know, sex work and exotic dance. We didn't design that. I love that. It really made me happy.
I absolutely respect sex workers.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's everywhere. Like, my body, my choice.
That's but right.
I manage myself. I'm all for it.
Uh-huh. And it's not like legislating it away has ever worked.
No.
But yeah, no, that was a really good, I still cut wedges. Because I want a wedge, but no, I know that that's catering. You slice in the. I'm doing it with my hand again on the radio because that's a useful motion. The way you were cutting it is definitely the right way to cut it. Part of when I don't sell many cakes, but part of how I price cake for the people who are coming to me because they're moms who don't know anything about cake is. Mm-hmm. When they talk about servings, I'm like, no, don't tell me about servings. If you are going to buy a box mix at Tesco and whip up your own cake, how many boxes would you buy? And they go, oh, well, I'd have enough guests that I would definitely buy 2, maybe 3. And I'm like, okay, now I have an idea of how much cake you want.
Yeah.
Because if you tell them servings and you don't, well, let's define a serving.
Yeah.
Right. Because what they're thinking of as a serving is a gigantic wedge of an 8-inch cake.
It's true. Yeah. People, you know, they need to see it. They need the visual to understand.
Yeah.
This is what a serving is.
Yeah. Now, if I was doing weddings and stuff, then that'd be different because catering expects that proper way of cutting. When I do my friend's kid's birthday. It's wedges. Because that's what they... Well, you can't give a kid none of the horrible fondant.
Yeah. They don't give a shit. They like it.
Oh, God, it's so horrible. But anyway, yes. I guess if there's nothing else, then I'll say thank you for coming on and don't die.
All right. That's my... Get back on Richard Simmons.
Back, yeah, you know what? The tree's got to come down because my husband also needs his chair back in the room. Once the tree is down, which was supposed to be this weekend, but obviously didn't happen. But yes, I will get back on the Richard Simmons, and I will keep looking at you standing upside down on your head and go, I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm glad you are.
Yeah, it helps me.
Yes, and it's badass.
Thank you.
Oh, badass was the word of the year last year. I just declared, this is the first episode of this year. Badass is still the word of the year.
I like that.
Because I want it.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And yes, the podcast motto even before COVID was don't die, we don't have time. Now it's doubly don't die, we really don't have time.
Awesome.
So I hope you keep selling and I hope we all get vaccinated soon and then you can open up again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast.
There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cakeformation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
I mean, absolutely toot your own fucking horn.